Welcome to the Wampa's Lair Podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl Eclair and Jason Hunt, discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out here in the Wampa's Lair. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. This is episode number 219, Top 5 Love Scenes. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Poe Dameron to my Finn, we have Carl Eclair.
The ultimate bromance.
Yes.
Finn and Poe.
Yes.
Except for maybe Chirrut and Baze. That's a bromance, too.
That is definitely a bromance.
Bromance and a half shell.
It's a brotherhood.
Exactly. So in case you're wondering, what the H are we doing with all this love talk? But, you know, Valentine's Day is just a week away, and we won't probably be able to record next week. So we wanted to, or actually, yeah, we will. But we're not going to be getting an episode out before Valentine's Day, except for this week. So we wanted to dedicate this episode to all those great love scenes that we have in Star Wars, both romantic and not romantic, by the way. Love does not just mean romance.
That is very true.
So, and Star Wars is chock full of really great love scenes, debatably great love scenes. I know I'm going to have a few on my list that people are going to be shaking their heads at, but I don't care. And if you can't tell, we're starting the show off at the top with the Luke and Leia theme, which is a love theme, but it's not a romantic love theme, obviously. It's a familial love theme, and a beautiful one at that. And I do remember when I saw John Williams conduct the Boston Pops last year, and he talked about when he wrote, you know, Leia's theme, he wanted it to be romantic and to have some connection with Luke and Leia, because he really thought they were going to end up together. So this piece actually has like a little bit of that sense of still like that romantic connection that was originally in the script, but you know, it kind of transcends that.
Right. It's a beautiful piece.
It really is. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
And I hope we get it in episode 8.
Oh, me too. Please. Yeah, and I'd love to hear, like, you know, again, kind of like we got the Han and Leia theme in Force Awakens, with a little bit more of that mature sound like we've talked about on previous episodes. Maybe we'll get a little sense of that with this theme.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But
we had a poll.
We do. We have a poll. Speaking of music, we wanted to know what you guys, what your favorite piece of music from the Rogue One soundtrack was. And I've collected all of these, and I think what's most surprising is how close a lot of these things are. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and do this. We had a tie for sixth place with one vote each, Jyn Erso and the Hope and Hope, and then Stardust. In fifth place with two votes was the Guardians of the Wills. In fourth place with three votes, including both of ours, we have Rogue One.
Yeah. So,
yes.
When you have control of the mixer, you get to play your song.
Exactly.
All right. Sorry.
All right. Anyway, in third place with three votes, my former favorite is the Master Switch, which I still love. In second place with,
love this song. Such urgency.
It is. All right. In second place with five votes, we have Your Father Would Have Been Proud.
That's such a great, beautiful piece.
And then, Carl, this may be the first time this has ever happened, but we have a tie for first place.
Oh, very interesting.
A tie for first place with six votes each. The Imperial Suite and Hope.
Wow, that's so crazy that the Imperial Suite is tied for first. It's a great song, but
it is. And a lot of people, when they were weighing in, said that they loved listening to the Imperial Suite and then going right into the Imperial March.
Interesting.
And I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, me neither. I'll have to give that a go.
Yeah.
Oh, this is such a great piece, though. Michael Giacchino absolutely crushed this by taking his own take on the Imperial March, and I couldn't be more perfect.
It's awesome.
It really is. And I was honestly surprised how many people voted for Hope, which is this crazy scene, the Vader scene.
Which is probably why it's so high.
I know.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, it's so Revenge of the Sithy, you know, with that choir while Anakin's kind of going berserk.
Right.
Taking out rebel troopers.
So epic.
Yeah.
In nature. Yeah. All right. But we have a matchup for you at the end of this episode, so stick around for that. And thank you, everybody, for weighing in on our poll. So.
Yes. Yes. Much appreciated.
Carl.
Yeah.
What are we here for today?
Well, we're going to talk top five love scenes, but before we hop into it, we got some love over on Patreon ourselves. This unofficial, I love how I keep doing that because it makes no sense.
Right.
But the unofficial official sponsor of this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast is our good friend Philip Liebold.
Woo!
And Philip had made a contribution to our Patreon page a while back, but we've had so many, we're going one at a time. So, Philip, thank you so much for your support. And also, thank you for that cup of coffee 2 years ago at Celebration Anaheim. he was kind enough to take you and I out, Jason. We had a great time hanging out with Philip, and I really hope to see him again at Celebration in Orlando in a few months.
Mm. So, you going, Phil?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm sure he'll get back to us.
Right.
But a real quick plug before we hop into the episode again for our Patreon page.
Plug.
It's a plug. If you are considering donating to our Patreon page, I want to tell you why is a great time to help support us on Patreon right now. If we can get to, we're going to be creating a new goal of $75. If we can maintain just a $75 Patreon account for the next 2 months, Jason and I are going to do daily recaps at the end of every day of Celebration while we're there. It's probably not going to be the best sound quality because we can't bring our heavy duty recording equipment because, you know, traveling on a plane, you want to try to minimize. But we promise to do a daily recap episode of kind of the events of the day, what we did, what we enjoyed, what we saw. So if we can get to $75, you know, for the month of February and March, we will be bringing that to you in the month of April when we get down there to Celebration. So heads up, if you're considering helping out to support that, any donation will do. We have lots of different tiers with prizes. So if you want us to do those daily recaps, head on over to patreon.com/wampaslairpodcast and shoot us some support if you can. And as always, we appreciate anything and everything that you guys can do.
Yes, we really do. Thank you very much for those who have already contributed and those who are thinking about it and will contribute.
Right. So speaking of all that love.
Love.
Let's hop into our Valentine's Day themed episode of The Wampa's Lair. And like we said at kind of the top of the show, you know, love scenes can refer to anything in Star Wars. They don't have to specifically be romantic love scenes.
Right.
Now, that being said, I'm a little embarrassed. The majority of mine are romantic love scenes. Maybe I didn't think hard enough about this. Because even when I said it to when I pitched it to Jason quick, I was like, hey, how about this for the week before Valentine's Day? He's like, cool. And I was like, yeah, and just so you know, we don't have to do obviously romantic scenes only. And he's like, yeah, don't worry. I was thinking of other things too. And sadly, I've only got one that's not strictly romantic, but whatever. You know what?
That's good because most of mine are not romantic.
Okay, so I am who I am.
A complete sucker for the romance.
Yes. So as always, of course, we have an honorable mention. Who's kicking this one off, Jason?
I'll go ahead and kick it off.
Okay. I'll eat these Cheerios in my hand.
There you go. All right. So my honorable mention has nothing to do with romance at all. It's actually, I kind of alluded to it at the beginning of the show when I called Carl somebody. Bromance. I'm going to, you know, the scene between Poe and Finn when they reunite on Takodana. It's a nice little, you know, brothers in arms type of, you know, bromance, you know, reuniting scene. It's really short, but I always like that scene. And I think everybody can agree that we'd love to be, you know, have a romance with Poe Dameron. So,
yeah, for sure. You know, I sadly forgot. I have two honorable mentions because I completely forgot one of my favorite scenes towards the top of my list. So I've got to bump everything back.
Uh-oh.
Nothing like screwing up our list. So I'll shoot off my honorable mentions quickly so we can get into the list. My first honorable mention is almost because I feel obligated to do it. Is the Empire Strikes Back, I Love You, I Know scene.
Mm.
You know, I mean, this is such a, like, quintessential Star Wars romance scene. It's not overly romantic. It's not a romantic setting by any stretch of the imagination. But what I enjoy so much about that scene is, you know, Leia's finally opening up and saying what she really feels because she's terrified Han is about to be taken away from her, potentially forever. Doesn't know if he's going to survive it. And his response, if I know, is yes, like everybody's like, oh, it's, you know, it's the most badass comment ever. Like, Han is so cool. And it's like, I don't think that's what he's doing. Yeah, like, yes, that is certainly Han Solo's character. But it's to me, it's actually a lot more emotional. It's him saying, I know that you do. And like, he's kind of releasing her from the guilt. You know, Leia's probably feeling guilty. Like, wow, if it weren't for me, he wouldn't be in this mess. And he's saying, I know, it's okay. Like, I fell for you. I knew what I was getting into. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like him giving her permission to let go of any of that guilt she might be feeling.
Yeah. And it's also acknowledging that, you know, he recognizes that she cared for him because, you know, obviously he's shown interest. It seems, you know, we get the idea that he's, you know, obviously he's flirted with her a little bit, but she's always rebuffed him.
Yeah.
But you know, that she really did love him. She really did care for him. And he knows that.
Right.
So.
Right.
It's a great scene. It's not on my list though.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. So my other honorable mention comes from Attack of the Clones. Buckle up, everybody. It's the scene by the fireplace and where Anakin essentially confesses his love to Padme and how tortured he is by that love.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether you like that scene or not, and you think the dialogue's terrible, whatever. I mean, I think the dialogue's fine. It's Star Wars dialogue. Like, it's not very real world, but it's not supposed to be. It's Star Wars dialogue. And, you know, Anakin's little monologue there, which, again, I just have such a soft spot for. Again, I used that myself when trying out for the high school play. So, of course, I have, like, a special place in my heart for that little mm-hmm. monologue. But it's very Shakespearean, you know? I mean, the language is weird to a modern sensibility, but it is a little Shakespearean, you know?
It is.
And he's just expressing how tortured he is by those feelings of, you know, passion versus reason. And that's kind of what happens in that scene. Padme acts as reason. She says, you know, we can't do anything no matter what we might feel. And Anakin, like, is like, yes, you do feel something, you know? Like,
right.
Anakin's the passionate one. Padme's like, I won't give into this, though. So
right.
This is, you know,
it's which is a juxtaposition because in his role as a Jedi, Anakin should be the one not giving in.
Yeah.
But he is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's such a beautiful scene there with how tortured it is. And, you know, having something that you feel so much for, but like part of you knows, like, I'm not supposed to have this. Yet still really wanting it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just such a struggle for those two. And I think it's almost not a love scene, but it's a confession of love and the struggle of young people being in love and right. having responsibilities that don't necessarily allow them to have those feelings.
Exactly.
But you can't just, as Anakin says, just wish away the feelings.
Right. Because they're there.
Yeah, they're there. And Anakin's very honest about them. But Padme is a little bit older, a little bit wiser, and is saying, you know, we can't do this. We'd be living a lie.
Exactly.
So.
All right. Number five?
Number five.
And this is just a little moment. And I'm surprising myself. I'm going back to The Force Awakens here. Hey. And it's just a little moment between Han and Leia. When Han is not feeling confident in his ability to confront Kylo. Mm. And Leia says, "You're his father." You know, she builds him up and affirms him, you know, in a way that is very tender.
Yeah.
And it's just a little moment, and it's just a little thing that happens between the two of them. And it speaks volumes, because in one moment, you know, Han has completely, you know, lost his foundations and lost his footing in this relationship with his son. And Leia's like, "No, you're always going to be his father," you know. And the way that she does it, it's, you know, reaffirming who he is in that relationship, and she builds him up in that. Of course, it also sends him off to his death, but that's neither here nor there. but I just love the moment there. It's a very mature, understated thing that happens there between the two of them. And it's a very wonderful little thing. Very subtle, but I like it.
Yeah, that is a great moment. You know, glad you brought it in. It's not on my list, but it is. It shows kind of where their relationship has grown to, where, you know, Han, who is, you know, stereotypically one of the most cocky, self-confident characters in Star Wars, and he still has a little bit of that cockiness to him when we first see him in The Force Awakens. But mm-hmm. here's one thing, he's still living with the guilt of failing his son. And in his mind, he's just kind of, I think Han has tried to just accept that reality that, like, Kylo is too far gone, and that's life. Like, he's kind of come to terms with that. But Leia is the one who's saying to him, like, "No, like, he was seduced, and there's still light in him. We can mm-hmm. do this." And you're right, like, Han's not so sure that he can do this, and Leia is the one kind of building him up here.
Right.
So yeah, that's a great scene. I'm glad you brought that in.
Me too. I like it. What's your number five?
I've got a short clip. It's also with Han and Leia, and this is from Return of the Jedi.
"Hey, what's going on?"
"Nothing. I just want to be alone for a little while."
"Nothing? Come on, tell me, what's going on?"
"I can't tell you."
"Could you tell Luke? Is that who you could tell?"
"I..."
Yeah, I really like that scene.
It's a good scene.
It's just really sweet, and it's very tender. And, you know, Han comes out after this huge revelation that Leia's just, you know, had. That, first off, I think the biggest part is not so much that Luke's her brother, but that Darth Vader's also her father.
Right.
Like, her history with him is pretty strained. You know, he tortured her. He's killed her entire family and planet.
Yeah.
He is the enemy. So she's just struggling with so much, like, inner turmoil here, you know, just like, holy crap, that was a slap in the face of truth. And I mean, Luke gave it to her gently and lovingly.
Right.
But Han comes out, and I think there's still a little bit of that. There's a little bit of jealousy still there, you know, like when he says, "You know, what's going on? You know, I can't tell you." He obviously knows Luke was just there, and you know, he's jealous. He's kind of offended. Like, "Well, you can tell Luke, like, I thought we were in a relationship. Like,
I thought we had a thing going, and then I was frozen in carbonite, and now you've, you know, switched over to Luke."
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You know? I mean, Han's feeling so slighted by that. And you know, his response is very hot-headed, and, you know, and he, like, walks off for a moment. And I can say that I've definitely been that guy in the relationship where, you know, the person I'm with is just dealing with a lot, and you know, I can't be in control of it, which is Han in that moment. So it's just like, well, then screw it. If I can't fix it, I want nothing to do with it. But we see the maturity of Han. He immediately stops, turns around, and he says he's sorry, which that's not something customary from Han Solo.
No.
And she just says, hold me. And he does that. Like, it's that moment where all she needs is just to be comforted. And he provides that for her. I mean, at first, you know, kind of reluctantly, but it shows, like, you know, even, you know, where their relationship gets to in The Force Awakens. But even before that, like, it's a very mature relationship. Han is able to recognize, like, I'm being I'm being jealous. I'm making this about me when it's not. It's, mm-hmm. you know, the woman I love is in pain right now. I don't really know why, which is like a crappy situation to be in. Like, it absolutely sucks when the person you love is struggling and you can't fix it for them. But the best you can do, and which is exactly what Han does do, is just holds her. Like, he's there with her and just holding her in her turmoil. And like, that's what love really is, you know, specifically romantic love, is not always being able to be in control and understanding everything, but just being that, you know, that rock that you can hold them in the midst of a storm, if you will. So
yeah,
I just really like that scene.
It's a good one. It's a very good scene. And I like the word tender.
Mm.
Tender is it's a very good thing. And it's a little bit romantic, but not necessarily. So,
yeah,
you know, which is nice. All right, I'm going to move to my number four. And I'm bringing something in from the Clone Wars here. One of my favorite romantic relationships in the Clone Wars was Obi-Wan and Satine. I love those two. And I couldn't just pick, you know, there wasn't a specific scene that I was thinking of in particular because I like the whole arc of their relationship. So I'm just going to go ahead and mention their, you know, Obi-Wan saying goodbye to Satine, you know, as she's dying there, you know, is, you know, after Maul kills her, you know, it's heart wrenching and terrible, but you know, he goes and holds her and, you know, it's a heartbreaking love scene, but mm-hmm. it is a love scene nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely one of the most human things we ever see out of Obi-Wan, you know, because he's the upright Jedi. He's the, you know, the by the book, you know, Jedi code guy. And this is definitely one of the most human things that we ever see happen to Obi-Wan. And I love it. So it's a great scene.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah, their relationship is great. And it really tapped into a dimension of Obi-Wan I don't think we would have ever expected beforehand. You know, Obi-Wan always was kind of the, you know, kind of by the book Jedi Knight. And mm-hmm. he certainly never would have harbored a relationship with anyone. But we learned that, you know, that's not the case. And, you know, and I mean, one of my favorite scenes in the Clone Wars is from the episode with Clovis, you know, where Anakin's all pissed off and Obi-Wan goes to his, you know, goes to his bedroom, basically says like, I get it. Like, those feelings are natural. Like, we're not allowed to have them. It's just what we do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, but what's interesting is Obi-Wan was willing to leave the order for her.
He was, but so, she loved him enough not to ask him that question.
Right. And I still, to be honest, I still struggle a little bit with that though. Like that, I don't know that that's 100% Obi-Wan's character. Would he really, you know, from like everything we've seen.
And well, at that time.
True. Maybe. He was probably a Padawan.
Yeah, he was still a Padawan. This is before episode one when,
right.
when he would have left the order for
I'd her. Love to get that story fleshed out, whether it's in a comic or a novel or something. And, you know, and actually that does make sense because with Qui-Gon as a master, Qui-Gon would probably potentially even be like, if that's what you have to do, you must do what you feel is right.
You must do what you feel is right, of course.
So, you know, and actually that could make sense. You know, what Obi-Wan becomes, just because Obi-Wan becomes something different doesn't mean when he's younger he couldn't right. have that. And actually that would be really cool if Qui-Gon is the one who, you know, Qui-Gon senses it and says, you know, Obi-Wan, what's going on? And Obi-Wan, I feel like, would have enough of a good relationship with Qui-Gon to say, like, well, I really have feelings for this person. And I can see Qui-Gon saying, you need to explore that. Pay attention to it, right? Like, if that's mm-hmm. where the Force is calling you, that's where you should go. Like, Qui-Gon right. seems like the type of master that would potentially do that.
Right, which is why he would have been the perfect master for Anakin, but yes. Darth Maul had other ideas.
Right. So, yeah. Oh, man, I'd love to see that story fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Awesome. Thanks for bringing that in.
Yeah. What's your number four?
My number four is... my number four. Oh, good. Whew, good. I do have room. I have a feeling this is going to be on your list, too, but I'm going to play a pretty powerful clip.
Okay.
I just can't do it.
Annie.
Will I ever see you again?
What does your heart tell you?
I hope so. Yes. I guess.
Then we'll see each other again.
I will come back and free you, Mom. I promise.
Be brave and don't look back. Don't look back.
Oh, giving me chills, Carl. Giving me chills.
Yeah. I love that scene.
I'll let you talk about it now because I'll talk about it later.
I figured you would. You know, it's just, this is incredible love of a mother for their child. You know, and Anakin's the center of her life. I mean, he is her life in a sense. And she's willing to let go of that so that he can find a richer, fuller, happier life, hopefully. You know, the hope is yes, he's free to go become something great now. And Shmi is in no way selfish and like wants him to stay around. She is very persistent with, if this is what you want to do, do it. You know, mm-hmm. I'll be fine here. Don't worry about me. You move on and don't look back. You know, I mean, that is quintessential parental selfless love right there.
Right.
You know, she entrusts Qui-Gon too. You know, I mean, she really does think that he clearly has Anakin's best interest at heart and we'll see this through. And she wants Anakin to thrive, you know, like any good parent, you want your child to really excel in life. And sometimes that comes at a great cost to yourself. And the good parents are willing to take that cost. And Shmi is the prime example of a good parent.
Right. Like I said, I'll have more to say on that later. So,
yeah.
I'll move into my number three, though. And that's going to be from the newest Star Wars movie to come out, Rogue One.
Hey.
It's Galen's message. Galen's message to Jyn. Mm-hmm. When he explains why he's done all that he's done and how, you know, and then he begins to talk about how he only thinks of her when he's strong and how his expression of love for her breaks through Jyn's tough exterior, breaks through her, you know, her I don't care, her hardened exterior, her, you know, all that stuff that she's built up around her, all the walls she is built up around her. And it breaks through and really opens her back up to living rather than existing. Yeah. Even though it's not like an actual conversation between the two of them, it's a profession of love from a parent to their child. And it's powerful. And it does amazing things for the rest of the movie. So I really love that scene.
Yeah, I do too, and I'm going to save comment.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad that made your list too, Jason, because it's going to be on mine, but not yet.
Not yet.
So my number three, again, comes from Return of the Jedi, and it's another Han and Leia moment. So I have another short clip to play real quick.
I'm sure Luke wasn't on that thing when it blew.
He wasn't. I can feel it.
You love him. Don't you?
Yes.
All right. I understand. Fine. When he comes back, I won't get in the way.
It's not like that at all. He's my brother.
Oh, little Wicket. He wants to celebrate too.
Yeah. not like that though.
No, no. No, he's too young. First off, just musically, that's so beautiful, because when Leia's thinking about Luke, it's the Luke and Leia theme. Mm-hmm. And then when she confesses he's my brother and Han just kind of looks at her dumbfounded and they kiss, then it goes into the Han and Leia theme. So again, just like the perfection of John Williams, again, always worth pointing out. But you know, kind of similar to the one that I mentioned earlier with them at the Ewok Village, is just the maturity of Han, you know, being able to say, like, because for Han, he still thinks like, oh, I guess she's really got a thing for Luke. So when he comes back, I won't get in the way.
Right.
This is really the 180 degree moment for Han Solo from where he was in A New Hope. You know, he's a very selfish, self-involved character to someone who's so selfless that he's willing to, like, let go of the woman he loves so that she can be with who she really wants to be. Again, in his mind at the moment. You know, he thinks, like, oh, I guess she wants Luke. That's what would make her happiest. So I won't get in the way. You know, I mean, that is, oh, man, that is such maturity. I could never do that. At least still not yet. But, you know, I mean, that's just, it's somewhat similar to the Shmi moment, in the sense that, you know, it's a very mature person saying, I want the person I love to be happy, even if it costs me something, you know, because that's usually, love implies some level of sacrifice at some point. And for Han, he's willing to sacrifice everything just to say, like, okay, fine. Like, if that's what's going to make you happy, I will bow out. But she's like, no, wait, you don't get it. It's like, I love him because he's a brother. So right. Let's make out. and if you've read any of the new EU, that you find out that they conceive Ben not too long after. So,
do they get married on the EU?
And they do.
It's
not like it's mentioned in passing. So I'm hoping we might get that fleshed out at a later date, whether it's an animated series, most likely, hopefully, please. Or at least in a more specific novel about the big three. But yeah, it is in one of the Aftermath novels. It mentions that they got married shortly after the Battle of Endor on Endor. So,
wedding night, you know, consummation.
Yeah, I don't know if they did the night of their wedding conceive him, but I think they do conceive him on Endor, just like Poe Dameron. Poe Dameron was conceived on Endor.
A lot of rebel babies were conceived on Endor.
Yeah, if you read the Shattered Empire comic series, you see Poe's parents get together on Endor. So,
but yeah, no, I love that scene too. Not only is it, you know, showing the maturity of Han, but we also get to see Leia finally open up.
Mm.
You know, she's a character who's been very closed off, very, it's about the cause, you know, over everything. And she's been opening up a little bit earlier on in the movie to Han, but this is finally, she's like, it's time. And she's able to open up and really, you know, reciprocate the feelings that he's had for her. So it's a great scene.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
All right.
It's your number three.
I already did my number three. It's my number two now.
It's your number two.
My number two is Shmi giving up Anakin. I love this scene so much.
I'm really surprised it wasn't your one. So now I'm very now I'm very curious.
I'm sneaky. But yeah, no, it's such a great scene. And for many of the same reasons you mentioned, it is the ultimate selfless act that a parent can do for their child, is to send them off for a better life, to get them out of where they're at in hopes of something better that they cannot provide for. But it's also a nice little tender scene because it also shows how much of a connection Anakin has with his mother too. You know, of course that grows into a little bit of an unhealthy obsession by the time we get to episode two. But at this time, it's a very nice, tender little relationship, and it's wonderful because, you know, they're all each other has, basically. Yes, Anakin has friends, but Shmi is the one he relies on. And he doesn't want to leave her because he doesn't want to make her sad. But she tells him, you know, I'll be fine. This is your future. You need to take this. And then when she, you know, talks him back into going with Qui-Gon, she affirms this choice by saying, don't look back. Because she knows the minute he does, he's going to run back and not going to leave. And it's heartbreaking. It's tender. And, like, you know, I got chills just listening to the clip you played when that music swells and everything. And it's so good. But I love that scene, so that's why it's my number two.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to add because I've spoken my piece.
Exactly. What's your number two?
Mine also comes from Rogue One, and it's the Galen's message scene. I've seen that movie 9 times now, and every time I've seen that movie, I tear up during that scene. Because it's so good, and you know the music in the background, which is the track Stardust on the soundtrack, you know, which some people, you know, lambast the single note piano stuff, but it has its place and it's really good on occasion. Mm-hmm. It's really loud. Here we go. Here's the pianos. I can't wait for the Blu-ray and digital release so I can play clips.
Right.
Because what I want to mention, though, is what sells this scene is not the music. The music's fine. This is more like a modern soundtrack in the sense of it's more of just setting the feeling and the tone. The music itself, I don't know, really tells the story. To me, what makes the scene perfect is Felicity Jones acting. Her facial reaction to just listening to her father talk is beautiful. You know, the tears that well up in her eyes, the way she's just, you know, just soaking up her father's image, who she hasn't seen in 15 years.
Right.
Is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, and his message too is also wonderful. I mean, yes, there's a lot of exposition within the message about how to, you know, what they need to do moving forward. Right. But, you know, right from the get-go, though, when he says, you know, and if there's a chance to see Jin, my beloved, my Stardust, right? Like, he names her. He reminds her of just how much love that he's had for her. And then the quote you mentioned as well, you know, I only think of you when I'm strongest, you know, is when I have the courage to think of you. And even then I risk failing because of how much it hurts not having you and your mother and our family. You know, I mean,
right.
She's become bitter in the 15 years of absence of, like, you know, like, my father has not tried to get me back. So, like, kind of screw him, you know, and she's built up a wall around that. But when Galen admits that, like, no, like, I've had to do the same thing, and what I've actually done is for you. You know, my hope is that if you still are alive, whether you get this message or not, that hopefully this message at least gets into the hands of the Alliance so they can destroy this thing, which could potentially destroy lives, countless lives, yours included.
Right.
It's so beautiful to hear a father so passionately in love with his child. You know, I mean, we get that with Shmi. We got a great mother's love, and now we're getting a great father's love.
Right.
Because, you know, Anakin's a pretty demented father. Yes, he redeems himself in the end, Mm-hmm. But you know, Galen is a very unique character in Star Wars in that now we finally have a father who loves so selflessly.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, that scene is just, it works for me every time I see it, and just watching the emotion, you know, again, if you don't think this scene's that great, I encourage you to see it again and just watch Felicity Jones acting. I think is phenomenal. She sells that part so perfectly. And right from the beginning of the message, I think she's just so touched by, like, oh my gosh, it's my father whom I've not seen in 15 years. And
right.
The first thing he addresses to her is he calls her by her name, like, you know, Jin, my beloved, my stardust. I mean, that is his pet name for her. That is,
right.
You know, a name of absolute endearment. And it reminds her who she is. Mm-hmm. And it reminds her, like, of what she can be, which is absolutely incredible. That scene is so powerful to me. It works so well.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. All right. We're at number one now.
We're hitting number ones, and I'm very curious where your number one is.
All right. This is something that it's a scene we've talked about a lot, but not from this. Not from this aspect before. And this is going to be kind of the whole sequence of I'm a Jedi like my father before me.
Hmm.
Luke goes to confront Darth Vader, to confront the Emperor in Return of the Jedi out of love for his father, who his father was, who his father could be.
Hmm.
And he goes and he fights for that. He almost loses, you know, the battle between the light and the dark, but he goes and he fights for that. And then in throwing away his lightsaber, while, you know, we always joke that that was, you know, a dumb move because he's facing Palpatine, it's also very sacrificial, you know, son for his father. And he's ready to give up his own life in order to try and redeem his father. And so this whole scene, his whole motivation for this mission is born out of love and desire for redemption for Anakin Skywalker. And I love it so much. So I don't have a lot to say about it, but it's just, We've talked about this scene from so many different angles for so long, and we're still finding different angles and different ways to bring it up in conversation. So it's so dense.
Mm.
And that's why it's my number one. Mm. So
yeah. It's actually not on my list. And I definitely thought of putting it on here, but part of the reason I didn't is mainly just because we've talked it to death, and that's not to belittle that you put it on there.
Right,
it's such a great scene. But that, you know, that's that whole encounter, like from essentially Luke surrendering to Vader, you know, on Endor. Mm-hmm. It's all about love. You know, he is, and the nature of love is to invite out the best in people, and that's exactly what Luke's motivation is. It has nothing to do with, like, turn back to the light side and fight the Emperor with me. It's nothing like that. And actually, I'm probably at some point later this week or over the weekend, I'm going to put up a short little episode where I compare the scene in Empire where Vader invites Luke to join him, and then the scene in Jedi where Luke invites Vader to join him, and talk about the differences and, you know, the call of the dark and the call of the light and how they, you know, contrast. But nice. That's something I'm going to do later. But I mean, this scene is specifically the I am a Jedi scene is, you know, he's when he says like my father before me, he indicates behind himself. And I think he's saying it to three people, really. He's saying it to himself first and foremost, like this is who I am. Secondly, I'd say he's saying it to his father, Anakin, like you made me, like you have right. goodness too. Like I didn't come from pure evil.
Right.
And then he's saying it lastly, I think, to the Emperor of just like, step off, bro, you lost.
yeah, pretty much.
You will never win, to quote Rogue One. But that is such a powerful scene there, and it's what redeems Anakin's the love of Luke. Luke sees that he is so much more and can be so much more, and right. was so much more that, you know, you're not past saving. So, and it works.
It does. So, all right. What's your number one?
You ready to get blown away?
Yes.
You ready for a lot of hate mail?
Sure.
All right, here we go. This is from Revenge of the Sith.
Annie, I want to have our baby back home on Naboo. We can go to the lake country where no one will know, where we can be safe. I can go early and fix up the baby's room. I know the perfect spot, right by the gardens.
You're so beautiful.
It's only because I'm so in love.
No. No, it's because I'm so in love with you.
So love has blinded you?
Well, that's not exactly what I meant.
That's all right. Probably true.
Get ready for a 1-star review on the iTunes store. When you pick Revenge of the Sith as your favorite love scene, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
But you know what? I say the hell with that. I love this scene. And I don't love the dialogue. Like, no, it's not great dialogue, but it's not bad dialogue. You know,
it's
Star Wars dialogue. You know, whenever I've shown people Star Wars for the first time who've never seen it before, one of the things that I've consistently heard is like the dialogue kind of sucks. It's really cheesy. And it's like, yeah, it's supposed to be. And that you're not going to get dramatic language like from a modern drama in Star Wars. That's not what Star Wars is. It's a big mythology story. It's the language is meant to be bigger. That's part of what makes Star Wars great in a sense. It makes it kind of timeless. What I love about this scene, and this does just barely beat out the Galen and Jyn scene. And I did notice I forgot to put in Jyn and Cassian at the end of Rogue One, but that would be towards the lower end of my list anyway. I do love it, but it's not quite as good as something like this. And the reason this works for me every time is mainly the music. I love the music in this scene. Again, it's John beautiful. Williams being absolutely brilliant. You know, we're getting it's my favorite rendition of Across the Stars in the prequel trilogy. And again, I mean, I've talked about this scene a lot in the past, but it's the only peaceful scene in this entire movie. Right?
Yeah.
I call it kind of the Garden of Eden experience before the serpent tempts him with his dream that night, you know, and you know, like it's so beautiful. Like they are together. They are two very young lovers and they're dreaming together. You know, Padme very concretely is dreaming out loud. Like, this is what I want to do with our baby. Like, here's where we're going to go. And you know, that's the essence of what love is. Like, when you're in a relationship, you're so happy and alive in the presence of your other person, you can't help but dream out loud. Like, I've had that experience numerous times with my girlfriend. She's so wonderful where I talk a lot and she's a great listener. And I just like, I kind of start dreaming out loud about like what I'd like to do more with my life. And that happens when you're in the presence of somebody you really love. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening here with Padme and Anakin. And, you know, Anakin's just like, to me, like his line of "you are so beautiful," like, yeah, it's kind of cheesy, but it also works because he's just so awestruck by her. Like, he's in the presence in his mind of beauty, like, you know, and beauty causes us to be in awe. Like, that's real life. Mm-hmm. And you can't help but say something cheesy in the presence of something that pure and good. And that's what this scene is. It's just like this pure goodness. Like, yes, should Anakin, Padme, like, you know, their secret relationship, yes, we know it's kind of doomed to fail. And like, should they have done it? Well, that's, you know, maybe, maybe not. But this scene shows what they could be and what they want to be. And what they could be and what they want to be is something pure and good. And, you know, like, you know, shortly after the movie came out, my older brother would always make fun of me, like, no, it's because I'm so in love with you. And I was like, I like that stuff. I don't care. Like, yeah, the dialogue's a little cheesy, but it visually, it's a beautiful scene. You know, again, I love cities at night, so it's that backdrop to Padme is, that's what's beautiful to me, more, even more than her. So, mm-hmm. But Anakin is just so in love, and she's so in love too. And that's the essence of love, whether it's any type of love, romantic, friendship love, you know, parental love. It's mm-hmm. ultimately about bringing out the best in people. And in this moment, Anakin and Padme have the freedom to just dream about what they want their lives to be. And they can do that together. And I love that scene. And I have always loved it. And it's one of my favorite moments in Revenge of the Sith. Because like I said, after that scene, everything just starts falling apart. The rest right. of that movie is about corrupting Anakin and about pulling him further away from Padme, pulling him further away from his friendship and love with Obi-Wan and with the Council. And, you know, the rest of that movie is about Palpatine tearing all of these relationships apart, mm-hmm. you know, and with one of the last things Anakin says is, I hate you. Like, that is not the Anakin we see in the scene, no. you know, so... Yeah, I just, oh man, I love this scene. I liked your reaction, by the way, as I played it. You were like, you were very pleased, and I'm very happy about that.
yeah, this was something where I wondered if this was going to make your list. I didn't think it was going to be the number one. I did not. But I'm really happy it was. It cracks me up, but it is a nice scene. It's a very nice scene if you can get past the dialogue. And folks, I think used to it. Star Wars is not going to have, you know, Oscar-worthy dialogue. It never will. It never has. But yeah, the scene, the meaning behind the scene, what the emotions in the scene, it's a very innocent, you know, it's almost like they're actually husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
This is the life that they want, you right. know, coming home at the end of the day, getting ready for the baby, you know, and, you know, just relaxing on the veranda and, you know, maybe a nice beverage, you know, that sort of thing. This is what they want to be.
Yeah.
This is the idea in their heads when they got married. This is the relationship that they want to have, but can't because she's a senator and he's a Jedi. This was the hope.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it completely falls apart. So it's nice to see that while their relationship is so secretive and while it crashes and burns in a very tragic, terrible, terrible way, it's really nice to see that they have this moment.
Yeah.
That it wasn't all bad and secluded, you know?
Yep. Yeah. You know, Getting past the dialogue too, it's to me it's easy to do because to me the real dialogue almost per se is what I'm listening to during that scene is the music. Right. What I'm looking at is their expressions, the scenery. You know, the dialogue itself is secondary. And the reason it still works, the dialogue even works even secondarily, is because of really the content of it is just there are two people in love and you say corny stuff to people you're in love with all the time. At least I do. you know, this is zooming into a very private, intimate moment, right? Like right. these are people being completely themselves with each other. Like the stuff I say to my girlfriend when we're hanging out one-on-one, I'm not going to say stuff like that if we're in a big group, like, cause it would just make everyone uncomfortable, you know, but you know, when you're zoomed into those really intimate moments, it's something to treasure. And I think this scene is, I think, you know, for as much as George Lucas gets, you know, lambasted for his dialogue writing, which by the way, he's very honest about, he's not good at writing romantic dialogue.
Right.
I think this is a gem. This scene is an absolute gem. It's I think it will forever be the top of my list.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So, you know, if you have any complaints about this, just send your emails to Joe Hogan. He'll commiserate with you.
Right.
you know, you can come at us and tell me why I'm wrong, and that's fine. But I love the scene, and that's what makes Star Wars great, is Star Wars can make you feel. And mm-hmm. all of these scenes that we've been talking about, they make us feel some sort of love. And to me, this is kind of the fullness of what that love could be. It's kind of that hopeful, dreamy love.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times that type doesn't work.
Sadly. Right, unfortunately. So. Especially in a series called Star Wars.
Yes, yes, not Star Love.
Right, unfortunately. all right. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. And, you know, as we were talking, I was thinking of all these other moments, too, I wish I had put on my list. But, you know, we used to do – have we ever done a top 10 list? That would be like a 3-hour episode, though. Yeah, it would. But there are obviously a lot of other love scenes in Star Wars. Again, both romantic and not romantic that could have been mentioned. And as always, we encourage you guys to share some of your favorite, you know, love scenes from Star Wars. You know, when we post this episode, feel free to comment on in the Facebook feed. Feel free to email us some of your own favorites. You know, tweet us, whatever you want to do, your mode of communication. Definitely let us know what you think. And if you share my love for the balcony scene in Revenge of the Sith, please tell me. I would love to know.
Carl doesn't want to feel like he's alone out here.
You know, I don't care if I am, but, you know, I'm just curious if anybody else loves it quite like I do. I might be alone in that, but.
All right. Well, we have a matchup, though.
We do.
And this is a bit of a different type of matchup. So, you know, maybe it's not our best, but it's a good one, I think. It's interesting. I like it, and I'm curious to see what people think. We're making a match in here, folks. We're going to have Padme versus Directa Krennic. So, yes. And, you know, both leaders, both have blasters. This will be cool. And they both have a great sense of fashion.
yeah. So, yeah, I love Krennic's cape.
I think this is the first time, Carl, you mentioned this, but I think this is the first time where we've had male versus female.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matchup. So,
what episode is this? 219?
Yeah.
Over 5 years. finally bringing up, you know, one of these male versus female battles.
Right.
So, but yeah, definitely curious what you guys think. Great characters. We've seen both characters do some pretty cool stuff with blasters. Obviously, more so with Padme, specifically because she got Clone Wars episodes. But
right,
you know, Krennic does some impressive stuff too.
Yes.
So
he survives when his Death Troopers do not. So
right, right.
So it took a Death Star to take out Krennic.
Yeah, it did. And it only took the will to live to take out Padme.
So. It's a lot more going on there.
Yeah.
but anyway. But yes, if you want to weigh in on our matchup, if you want to weigh in on our topic here, your favorite love scenes, Carl's already started to mention it, but where can they do that?
Of course, over on Facebook, facebook.com/WampasLairPodcast. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/WampasLair. Shoot us an email at WampasLairPodcast@gmail.com. And like I said at the top of the show, if you want to give some support to us on our Patreon page and unlock some of these daily celebration episodes, head on over to patreon.com/WampasLairPodcast and support us as best as you are able.
Yes,
we really appreciate that. Yes, of course, we appreciate it. And real quick before we wrap this up, too, I want to mention, because I'm finally into this, I'm getting into Force Arena, the mobile app game for Star Wars. And Jason and our friend Greg made a guild called Wampa's Lair. So if you play Force Arena and you'd like to play with us sometime, hop on into the Wampa's Lair guild.
Yes. It's not a very active guild right now because I'm still learning how the guild stuff works. But
yeah. Well, I suck at the game, so I'm still learning how the game works.
All right. But yes. Anything else, Carl?
No, that'll wrap this one up.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This has been episode number 219, Top 5 Love Scenes. and nothing is stronger than the love between Carl and I.
Yeah.
And so for Carl, I'm Jason, and we'll see you here next time in The Woman's Lair.